Testing. Testing. Test. Test. Test 1 2. Test 1 2. Test 1 2. Test. This is the Oral History Project, embracing the history of Pittsburgh Musicians Local, number 471. My name is Joseph J. Kennedy, Jr. Professional name is Joe Kennedy, Jr. I'm very happy to say that I'm a former member of this wonderful union. Now, I was born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, at the McGee Hospital, November 17th, 1923. Now, I lived and was reared right outside of Pittsburgh, 18 miles west of Pittsburgh, a small suburban community by the name of McDonald, Pennsylvania. And I came from a very musical family. And there's a lot of history as far as McDonald, Pennsylvania is concerned. My first music teacher was my grandfather. He started me on violin. Saunders C. Bennett Sr. And also in the McDonald community, there was a legend as far as trumpet history is concerned. I had an uncle by the name of Theodore Cuban Bennett, credited with having started one of the first to start a very, very wonderful harmonic point of view as far as trumpet playing was concerned. We're talking about the 1920s. Well, Uncle Cuban lived in McDonald for many years. During the 20s, he went to New York to seek his fame, and he was richly rewarded because he played with Louis Armstrong, Fletcher Henderson. I remember he used to talk about Jelly Roll Morton, many of the marvelous historical people in the music in music history. Also, I remember Benny Carter being a family member. He was my cousin, and he would visit as a youth. Relatives in McDonald, Pennsylvania on a regular basis. And that was very, very interesting because as he matured and traveled with his bands, he would always stop in McDonald, Pennsylvania, and I'd listen to him and a lot of other musicians. I remember people like Earl Hines coming to visit us in McDonald. Many others. Rex Stewart from the Ellington Band, John Kirby, and I could go on and on. So I guess you could say that I was interested in music due to all of the influence from my family. In school, I think I started violin in second grade. And as I mentioned before, my grandfather started me. I played in little elementary ensembles at school, junior high school orchestras. I also had a wonderful experience. My mother, who was a tremendous supporter of me, decided to enroll me in the music classes at Mary Cardwell Dawson School of Music in Pittsburgh. Now that was out in the Homewood East Liberty section of town, 1701 Apple Avenue. Mary Cardwell Dawson was a tremendous, tremendous music educator, and my mother would take me by the hand to the Dawson School of Music. And also another childhood friend and adulthood friend, in fact, one of my best friends even today, Ahmad Jamal, his mother and my mother would meet. They would take their two sons to music lessons on Saturdays at the Cardwell Dawson School of Music. And this was just a tremendous early exposure to music. Ahmed and I would play on class recitals or at class recitals in churches and so forth. And it was a wonderful, wonderful memory to think in terms of. After years studying, as a youngster studying at Mary Cardwell Dawson School of Music, I had an opportunity to audition. Look, as a freshman in high school, I auditioned for the Saturday morning music classes at Carnegie Tech. It's Carnegie Mellon now. But what would happen, you would have a private music lesson on your instrument, and then later in the morning, they had a student symphony orchestra, and you would participate in that. And this was just a marvelous experience for a person that was interested in instrumental music. Now, after I graduated from high school, this was during World War II years. I went to the Army, and it was 43. And they sent me to Camp Lee, Virginia, which is now Fort Lee. And I was one of the members of the Camp Lee Symphony Orchestra. And in this organization, major symphony orchestras were represented from all over the country. This was another tremendous experience for me. And they had the United States Army Band Training Unit there. And if you were in the Army and you were going to be assigned as a bandsman, you had to come to Camp Lee at first and take your necessary basic training, and then you would be assigned accordingly. I remember meeting and playing with such marvelous musicians during this time. Harold Shorty Baker from the Duke Ellington Orchestra, he was there. Al Norris, guitarist with Jimmy Lunchford, Matthew G. From Erskine Hawkins Band, Irving Ashby from the Lionel Hampton, and later Nat King Cole Trio was also there. I could go on and on. And after the service, I went back home, and this is 1946. This is when I joined local 471. And it was a very, very marvelous opportunity for me to meet a lot of the marvelous musicians in Pittsburgh. The first group I played with, in fact, I think that I was the only violinist during this time that was a member of the local. The first group I played with after I was discharged from the Army was George Duke Spaulding, who is still living. And George had a quintet sextet. And this is where I met Edgar Pieper Willis, bassist. We both joined Duke Spaulding's band. And I remember also in that group, I think it was John Mashaw, who played alto saxophone and trumpet. Some of the members I remember during these days back home were a lot of the individuals who are famous. I remember Ray Brown. Roy Elridge used to come home very often. Linton Garner. And I used to love to play with Linton. And, of course, Earl would come home a lot and play. After playing, gigging around town with George Duke Spaulding, I had the pleasure of meeting Sam Johnson, tremendous pianist, and Edgar Willis, Sam Johnson, and another guitarist by the name of Ray Crawford, and myself. We formed a group called the Four Strings. And we gigged around the Pittsburgh area. This was around 1947. The president of the local then was, I think it was Henry Prez Jackson. And we would go up to the local and rehearse during afternoons. And Prez on one occasion came upstairs, and he said, I like the music you all are rehearsing. He said, you play in all different kinds of keys, I noticed, too. He says, how would you like to play here on Saturdays and Sundays? And we just, we were just speechless with excitement. And from this opportunity, we had a chance to play at the local and develop our repertoire. Mary Lou Williams heard us, and she gave us our first recording date. She was responsible. And then along the way, I had a wonderful opportunity to join Fred Brown's group. Fred had a quintet, And I remember in that group, Robert had piano, Eddie Rabbit Barnes drums and vibes. I think Bobby Boswell was on that group too. Bassist and Fred and myself. I think I mentioned Robert Head. And we used to play at places like the Washington Club and Swickley, Pennsylvania had a club. Was it? I forget the name of the club there, but we played regularly on Sunday nights there. This was a very, very good experience. So during this time also, as far as formal training was concerned, I had enrolled in Carnegie Tech, their Department of Fine Arts. And maybe a year or so, Ahmed, I better go back and tell you how we had Ahmed to be a member of the Four Strings. We had a studio assignment creating music, background music for radio shows. And we had to hire Ahmed as pianist with the group because he was a marvelous reader at this young age. So this is what we did, and as a result, we had a chance to develop our creativity as far as the studio scene was concerned. And this was very, very, very unusual. I think Ahmed was 14 or 15. He hadn't graduated from Westinghouse High School. Anyhow, after he graduated, we went on the road, the Four Strings. We went to Chicago. And this was a very unusual, I think, experience for us, and whereby we didn't stay out there long. Ahmed and Ray stayed, and eventually the early Jamal trios were born. So very, very interesting situation. Now, getting back to education, I had a world of experience attending Carnegie Tech. And after coming off the road with the Four Strings, I attended Virginia State University and got a BS degree in music and was offered a position as instrumental music teacher in Richmond. And I've used Richmond as my base ever since. And I can say that all of the wonderful experiences I had in working with musicians from Local 471, this helped me so much in doing what I'm doing now, even. Teaching in Richmond, wonderful experience. Then the early 60s came, and two persons of color auditioned for the Richmond Symphony. Dr. Tom Bridge, who was a very, very fine PhD from University of Michigan, violinist, he was accepted into the Richmond Symphony. And I was also accepted. So we broke the color line there. And then I played in the Richmond Symphony for 18 years. the early part of the 80s, I had to stop because I was getting a lot of offers to travel nationally and internationally. And we had tours of Japan with Benny Carter, and solo engagements in England and Europe. And during this time, recording and arranging, doing a lot of arranging for Jamal. This was very, very fine. So I decided to come back to Pittsburgh during summers and study for a master's degree in music from Duquesne University. And I did that and received a master's in, let's see, it was 1960. And from there, let's see, I had an administrative opportunity and was selected as supervisor of music for Richmond, Virginia Public Schools in the early 70s, and was in that position until 1983 and 84. And then I was offered the position as director of jazz studies at Virginia Tech University in Blacksburg, Virginia. So I retired in 1995, professor emeritus from Tech. And what I'm doing now is a lot of solo work with symphony orchestras, and I'm able to write, compose, arrange, and I'm still very, very busy, and I'm still crediting Local 471 for helping me as a young person the way they did. It was just marvelous. I was thinking about some of the outstanding members that I remember back home. Jerry Elliott was always so talented, and Carl Arder. I remember Monty Hicks, George Thompson, Walt Harper. I remember Nate Harper. Gordon Austin. As far as bands are concerned, I remember as a kid the Tommy Enoch Band. Let's see, Billy Hitchcock Band. Joe Westray Orchestra. Wonder how if Monty Hicks is still living. One of the first gigs I made, I think, after discharge from the Army was with Tommy Turrentine. Tommy and I always had a lot of fun together. Stanley was quite young then. And Tommy and I, we would have such a great time playing. And it was always such a pleasure to talk to Tommy and Stanley's daddy. Mr. Turrentine, he was a beautiful person. The sadness of all of this is thinking in terms of so many that who have gone on and are now deceased. Edgar Peeper Willis, Ray Crawford, Leroy Brown, Honey Boy Minor, Peeper Willis. This is sadness, and Harold Holt, I just remembered Harold, and of course Errol Garner, Sam Johnson, I can think of a lot of ones, but these were marvelous, marvelous human beings, and they added so much to the wonderful legacy of Local 471 back home. I would say that having the experience of being a member of Local 471 actually was one of the greatest experiences of my career. We would meet so many marvelous artists that would be traveling through Pittsburgh, and the jam sessions, the all-night jam sessions at 1213 Wally Avenue were just marvelous. I can think of many, many experiences. And I just wish, I wish that more people would realize the outstanding contribution of this wonderful organization. I could go on and on, but it has been a pleasure for me, as I have said and indicated in television. Interviews, television, other types of workshops and seminars that we do. I always talk about 471. I should have mentioned Mary Lou Williams, too, at great length. Mary Lou was such a wonderful thing. May I extend my heartfelt thanks to everyone back home that's still living. Chuck Austin is doing a marvelous job in keeping this legacy in front of the world. And I hope that these few words might express my agreement with the whole force and the global imprint that Local 471 has heard on, that has had on the earth. Thank you very, very much.